Assessing the overlap between oral health and tobacco use, policy and treatment opportunities. And this was put together by Dr. Jillian Schauer. Did I say that right? Dr. Schauer works on contract with the Office on Smoking and Health at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, where she focuses on tobacco cessation, health systems transformation, and policy. Dr. Schauer has worked in tobacco prevention and control for more than 10 years. She has her PhD in behavioral science from Emory University and her MPH in health services from the University of Washington. And as I said at the beginning, Dr. Schauer does not have a voice, and so Gina is going to present her presentation. And if you have questions for Dr. Schauer that Gina cannot answer, you can email Dr. Schauer. Thank you.
I just want to acknowledge again Dr. Schauer. We've worked quite well with the Office on Smoking and Health, and it's really nice to be able to interact with them, and they've engaged us in quite a bit of their activity there, specifically the TIPS campaign, and Dr. Schauer's presentation highlights that. And this is just going to be assessing the overlap between oral health and tobacco use policy and treatment opportunities. Dr. Schauer would like to acknowledge some of the staff in the Office on Smoking and Health and Oral Health, and in particular the health partners. She has also a disclosure down here that's required for all federal staff about the findings and conclusions of the report, not necessarily representing the official position of the CDC. And Jillian, Dr. Schauer does not have any financial disclosures at all, or anything that includes discussion of off-label use. And the presentation will just go over just a few things. She'll gives a brief background, a discussion about the Healthy People 2020 measures, system change approaches, and this includes the partnership that they have with Healthy Partners example, and then the CDC tips from former smokers campaign, ongoing policy and treatment opportunities, and then an overall summary. Okay, moving on to the backgrounds. Smoking is still the number one cause of preventable death and disease in the United States. In 2014, a landmark Surgeon General's report on smoking and health was released, marking the 50th anniversary of the first report in 1964. The 2014 report identified additional health conditions caused by smoking, including diabetes, tuberculosis, additional adverse pregnancy outcomes, erectile dysfunction, arthritis, and others. Data from the previous Surgeon General's reports have established causal links between smoking and a number of health effects specific to oral health, including a causal link between smoking and periodontitis, suggestive causal links between smoking and dental caries and failed dental implants, and causal links between smokeless tobacco and periodontal effects, oral leukoplakia, and oral and pharyngeal cancers. This slide highlights some good news with regard to smoking, cigarette smoking among adult men and women, which is on the decline in the U.S. Though one in five men and nearly one in five women still smoke, it looks to be a definite decline since the 1955 date through 2013, and there is a reference here of estimates of current smoking greater than or equal to 100 lifetime cigarettes and currently smoking someday or every day. And this source is the 1955 current population survey, 1965 to 2010, and then 2013 National Health Interview Survey. Despite the decline in cigarette smoking, we continue to see a broad landscape of other tobacco product use, including increase in poly tobacco use or the use of multiple tobacco products, and increases in the use of cigars and electronic nicotine delivery systems. Also of a particular note for oral health, the oral health care setting, is the prevalence of smokeless tobacco among males. These products have also been diversifying with newer smokeless tobacco products on the market that are spitless or dissolvable. This next slide highlights the disparities in smoking and oral health. In particular, some studies suggest self-reported poor oral health status among adult current smokers versus both former and never smokers. Adult current smokers were twice as likely as former smokers and four times as likely as never smokers to report oral health. Also, there were studies to suggest less frequent or effective oral health hygiene practices among smokers versus non-smokers. And there's two references listed here that are a data brief from the CDC, as well as another peer-reviewed journal article. So this next slide just talks about some of the opportunity. Fortunately for oral health care providers, they're in a unique position to help tobacco users to quit. Nearly half of adult smokers see a dentist or hygienist each year, and half of those who reported they did not have a primary care medical visit reported seeing a dental or a hygienist. So oral health care providers may be reaching a unique subset of the population compared to primary care clinicians. And this is a reference that it was in the American Journal of Public Health in 2010 that actually looked at dental examinations as an untapped opportunity to provide HIV testing for high-risk individuals. Dentists and hygienists tend to have an ongoing relationship with patients and are a trusted source of information about health. Oral health presents teachable moments when a patient is in their chair and effects of smoking or tobacco use are visible. Intervening with patients to help them quit tobacco is also recommended by the ADA. And finally, we have evidence-based interventions that work and have been tested in oral health care settings. A 2012 Cochrane review evaluating interventions for tobacco cessation delivered by dental health care professionals found a significant increase in the odds of 6-month tobacco abstinence over people who did not receive interventions. This slide highlights some of the evidence-based treatment options. In the 2008 update of the Public Health Services Clinical Practice Guidelines on Treating Tobacco Use and Dependence, confirmed that counseling and medication are effective treatments for smoking and that the combination of the two is the most effective approach. Counseling can be delivered individually or in groups, and through telephone-based tobacco quit lines, which are available in each state at no cost to smokers. 7 FDA-approved medications exist, and a recent update to the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendation on treating tobacco use in adults drew the same conclusions. And then finally, the Public Health Service Guideline also recommends that clinicians and health care systems consistently should identify and document tobacco use in all patients, treat every tobacco user. Two intervention approaches that can be used to treat tobacco include the 5 A's. This is the gold standard intervention within an oral health care team ask about tobacco use, which stands for advising, assessing, assisting, and arranging. So it goes through a sequence of steps of advising the patient to quit, assessing the patient's willingness or readiness to do so, assisting the patient in planning to quit and starting and setting a quit date, and then arranging for follow-up to see how the patient is doing. The 2A and R is a modified version of this that uses resources external to the clinic or practice to provide treatment assistance. Under this approach, the clinical team asks about tobacco use, advises the patient to quit, and refers interested patients to a tobacco quit line. Interestingly, the 2AR was created by hygienists who were working with Stephen Schrouder at the Smoking Cessation Leadership Center. Okay, moving on to the healthy people measures. Based on the evidence-based guidelines from the Public Health Service and based on the feedback from stakeholders, specific measures were added to the Healthy People 2020 to monitor and improve tobacco cessation screening and counseling in dental care settings. You can see there are two main measures, including tobacco screening in different settings and increase in tobacco cessation counseling. The measure set applies specifically to office-based ambulatory care settings, hospital ambulatory care settings, and dental care settings. Two other settings, including mental health and vision care settings, have been added as developmental measures. And moving on again to a little bit more detail about the actual measures, the data source of the American Dental Association Survey of Dental Practice. This is sent to a probability-based sample of ADA members and non-members, and the questions here are listed in terms of what specifically asking during the past week, how often did you or your dental team provide personally ask the questions if they use tobacco, personally counseled the patients if they use tobacco products, and then here's also the list of responses. The data from 2010 on this slide were used as a baseline to establish the Healthy People 2020 dental care measures. If you're not familiar with the Healthy People measures, the targets are usually set based on the percentage increase over baseline. The target to reach by 2020 for tobacco use screening in oral health setting was set at 58.2%, and the target for tobacco cessation counseling was set at 39.3%. Data are being collected every year, 2 years, to monitor progress, and as you can see from the 2011 and 2013 data, the target has not been met for either screening or counseling. Okay, moving on to some of the limitations. There are some limitations to these data that should be highlighted, and specifically the response rates from the ADA survey are low, approximately 30%, and have been declining. However, this is more likely to bias results in a more favorable direction, since dental providers who are responding may be those who are more likely to conduct cessation interventions. Data are also self-reported and subject to recall bias. So what are the possible reasons for missing the target? The data limitations could play a role, but again, self-report and low response rate are likely to overestimate the screening counseling, not underestimate. And then here's some additional possible reasons. First, the dental health care providers may have a number of competing responsibilities. They may lack team support to carry out the cessation intervention, putting the burden on one clinician. There's changes in the electronic health record. And finally, oral health providers may not feel comfortable bringing up tobacco use with patients. This highlights just some of the ideas for increasing the team support in the dental care setting for tobacco treatment, taking a team approach requiring all staff to participate, taking advantage of teachable moments, and then leveraging the importance of health electronic health records. I want to move on quickly in the essence of time for the health partners example. And this was a recent project that CDC engaged in with health partners to provide an example of how health electronic health records could be leveraged to improve cessation interventions. They were conducted in a 5-month blocked group. in dental clinics to see if the intervention tool increased tobacco cessation interventions. They found that having a computerized prompted tobacco intervention in electronic dental record nearly doubled the frequency at which smokers were reported to receiving a tobacco cessation intervention. And then CDC funded a follow-up study with health partners to look at how provider health change was monitored or maintained over time. And the results of the study also continue to do the intervention, and the test sites have at significantly higher levels than providers in the control sites. Another campaign that the Office of Smoking of Health was very instrumental in was the CDC tips from former smokers. I know most of you have been aware of this, and they did focus on oral health, and it was really nice to work with them in that regard. And they have a number of features: asthma, cancer, COPD, gum disease, HIV complications, and pregnancy. I'm sure a lot of you are very familiar with this. And they also generated fact sheets and training resources, and all of this information is available on their website. There's, like I mentioned before, there's ongoing opportunities to increase the screening and treatment. And this is a list of different things in terms of media campaigns, the quit lines, e-referral processes, and such. So in summary, oral health professionals have a unique opportunity to address tobacco use with patients. Evidence-based interventions exist. The Healthy People 2020 has made improving screening and counseling among oral health professionals as a goal. And Dr. Schauer has listed a number of resources here, including the TIPS website, the Prescription for Change, and the University of Washington Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. And she thanks you, even though she can't talk.